And I'm really excited about this. And Mary Kettling, of course, is the GM of Fort McDowell Casino. And how long have you been there now? It's been pretty recent, right?
Yes, it's a recent move for me. I have been here just 1 year. In fact, I'm celebrating my
Congratulations.
anniversary this, yes, thank you, this week.
No, that's great. So it's appropriate. It's an appropriate show. When you and I spoke last time, we were in Vegas for some show, I can't remember, but you had told me a great story about your family and how your family were farmers and some incredible tidbits growing up. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because I feel like that's kind of like the foundation of your work ethic and some of the great things that you do.
Sure, absolutely. I grew up in western Wisconsin, and on a dairy farm, and I'm one of 9 daughters. So my parents were
Wow.
in the, yes, they were in the dairy business. They were farming, and as you know, or anybody is aware, that dairy farming is a 24/7 business. It's no quiet. There's no time off. 365 days a year, and I think that actually seasoned me a bit for the job that I have today. But anyway, we grew up in a dairy farm, 9 girls, all of us engaged in the family business. And I was fortunate that my parents were very hardworking. They set a great example for us. And since I was real young, my dad always talked about business and what we were doing with the farm and where we were going. And it was a really great foundation to listen to and learn from. And it's interesting too that with all of the girls, and we all learned how to do all of the jobs and how to be part of the business. And coming from a family of all girls, there really wasn't a lot of coddling or a lot of sensitivity to, you're a girl, you need something different. I remember, and I think I mentioned this to you, I remember being with my dad and a couple of sisters and a hired hand that was working on the farm, and we were headed out one day to bale hay. Which is an it is how I spent many of my summer days as a kid. Western Wisconsin is beautiful. It has rolling hills. And on our farm, there wasn't a lot of flat ground. It was pretty much hilly all of the land. Anyway, I was on an empty flatbed wagon. My dad was driving a tractor in front of us, pulling us. And of course, we were on a hillside as always, when all of a sudden he hit a bump. And not only did I bounce to the ground, but I landed in just the right place to have the tire roll
Oh,
over
man.
both of my legs. Yes. And I was probably 10
Wow.
years old, 9, 10 years old, something like that. And my first inclination once I landed on the ground and realized I hadn't been killed or badly injured was to at least look up and anticipate and expect sympathy and some attention. My sister had hopped off the wagon and was down, standing next to me, checking me out, seeing if I was scratched or bruised, and my dad jumps off the tractor and he circles around and wanders over to where I'm on the ground and watches my sister, brushing me off and cleaning me up, and puts his hand out to help me get up, and then looks at me and says, "Until you can balance, you better find something to hang on to." And that's kind of how it was for us. And that's really a
Sounds
lot of
like my
what we grew
dad.
up with. Yes.
That's
Was
wow. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, well, there's a lesson to be learned, right?
absolutely. It was like my entire childhood was, find a solution to your problem. Fix what the issue is out there. Take care of it. So find a solution. So it was
Yeah.
great education.
Yeah, and great for a GM, because that's basically what you're doing all the time is finding solutions to problems.
Absolutely.
Now, were you guys on a were they like waking up early in the morning, and you had that whole regimen, right?
Oh, heavens, yes.
Yeah, like really early, right? 3, 4 in the morning.
Oh, yes, it's a 4 in the morning, and it's throughout the day, and then again late night in the evening. So it's an all day ongoing process, yes. And in Wisconsin,
Yeah,
obviously the weather is less than cooperative sometimes in the winter, so it makes for some special challenges as well.
really, really, really incredible winters. So, Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the first time you went into gaming? I know it was a full casino, but there were a lot of challenges at the time. Describe to us a little bit that era in Indian gaming and how you came in to get this job and, you know, what the experience was.
Okay. Well, getting into the casino business for me was kind of a fluke. It wasn't, you know, as many of us, I've been in gaming for 20 years, so at, you know, at that time it wasn't probably a planned career for many of us that are in it. And it was really a second career for me. I had spent about 15 years in a small business. And I had gone back to college and gotten an accounting degree. I was a new CPA, and I was actually planning a career in public accounting. When I was contacted by an acquaintance who had worked with before and had talked to me about going out and talking to the tribe, and this is in North Dakota now. I had relocated to North Dakota, talking to a tribe that was operating in a temporary facility and was building a larger new facility and was looking for someone to come in and work as a CFO. And this was one of the tribal casinos at the time that was self-managed. The tribe had been in business for about, I think, 3 or 4 years at that time in a very temporary, limited facility. It was a full gaming site. It was full Class III gaming, but you know, small in size. And so, kind of on a fluke, I went to talk to the tribe and talk to the manager. There was a new general manager that had been hired to take on this process, and talked with him and just really piqued my interest. I thought it would be something that really might be a good fit for me. With a small business that I was involved in, I was in the hospitality restaurant, and so I already knew that I really liked hospitality. I liked the variety of work. I liked the number of things that are happening, and obviously I knew this was going to be a big project, and it was going to be putting myself out there to learn something that was, you know, completely foreign to me, to be honest, the gaming itself, other than having, you know, tried a few slot machines on my own. But anyway, I was up for the challenge, and so I took the job, and I took the job thinking, you know, I'm going to give it a little try. I don't know how this is going to work. This is something, you know, brand new for me, but I'm going to give it a try. And I kind of committed to trying. I started working in May, and I committed myself to working for, you know, I thought I'll try it over the summer, and I'll give it my best and just really see. And obviously, it's been over 20 years, and I'm still in the business. The
Describe
casino at the
to us a
go
little.
ahead.
No, just go ahead. What were we going to say?
So when I went to work for the casino, obviously this was at a time when gaming was new, and as a CFO, there were very little resources or, you know, places where I could really go to seek a lot of the information or the things that I needed in that position. So it was really a kind of a trial by fire, learn on the job, and the whole, you know, the property was new. It was a great group of highly motivated individuals who wanted to see this new casino open and worked really hard as a team. And I can say that we learned the process together. We were all on, you know, we really learned kind of the ways of the business, from marketing to running the business in general. We really learned as a team. And after I went to work for the tribe, the big move to the new facility happened 45 days after I went to work for them. And obviously that was a big piece to get ready for. The casino had did a fair amount of planning for it, but big jump, big step. And I didn't know anything about gaming when I went there. So great adventure, and you know, thrilled that I'm still here today.
That's great. What a fantastic end to the business, into that transition. Describe those times. What year was it, did you say, that this happened?
I went there in 1996,
Okay,
and
so
so the
it was fairly early on in the native gaming, right?
it was in the early years of gaming.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I always find is interesting is at that time, you know, our employees didn't have cell phones. It was a fairly it was very rural, obviously, very, as most of North Dakota is, but it was a very rural location, and you know, the reservation was really quite isolated at the time. So it was a cultural change. It was a you know, just a huge shift and change for, you know, our team members. We had I would say 75% tribal member employment. And so which was great. There were a lot of tribal members that were employed, and it was, you know, it was a great experience and opportunity for the nation as well. But our team members didn't have telephones. Many people didn't have home phones. We would find ourselves on occasion sending shuttles out to someone's house and you know, waiting for them to get ready for work and come to work unannounced, because there were just a lot of those kinds of things happening. You know, we didn't have bill validators. We didn't have ticket in, ticket out. We, you know, it was all drop was quite a large, you know, was a big job with all of the coin. So it was completely, you know, completely different technology time, but a lot of the same thing with guests and guest service and you know, taking care of the guests. You know, that piece of gaming really hasn't changed.
Yeah, that's constant throughout, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah, it's a major thing. Obviously, there was from the time that you went to this community, the time that you left, you saw some major changes in the community, because we know that unlike commercial gaming, the native gaming really feeds into the community. Describe a little bit what it feels like to work in that kind of environment.
You know, one of the things.
Flourish.
Yes. Okay. So one of the things, you know, that you know that I tell people, and it is really to me was very meaningful, was that the tribe itself really came into more of a rightful place and was able to earn respect in an area and in a time when the tribal community didn't have that respect. And as they became, you know, as the revenues came in and they became a real player and were able to get financing. We did two expansions during the time that I was there. We added a hotel, and we were on a lake, and we added a marina, and we added an RV park. And to see that process happen, and to see that not only the tribal leaders, but some of the tribal members that were involved in that process, and really be able to come into their place was really great to be part of and great to see. So that was a good piece. And then other than that, it was just the jobs and the job opportunities that opened up. Because remember, the reservations in North Dakota, they're large land base and large population. And to see employment grow and to see opportunity grow and to see individuals and families being able to take pride in what they were doing, it was, you know, it was a really rewarding time.
Yeah, it's amazing what the revenue from the gambling does to the communities. A lot of people don't realize, but it builds infrastructure, nursing homes, schools, all the things that they need to just be sustainable, right?
Absolutely, and it was the tribe that I worked for had a manufacturing plant that had been flourishing for many years, but it was in defense materials, and that business had slowed down, and so it came into as well as a time that was great to be able to maintain some of those government services and add new government services and just really provide opportunity that hadn't been available to the membership earlier.
Yeah, it's amazing. Very satisfying
it
work.
It is, absolutely.
Yeah. So like any business, there are challenges for women. And, you know, our industry skews, you know, very male, but that is changing, as you know. There's a lot more female, great female leaders in our industry. How do you see this evolving into the future? And what can you tell us about some of the hurdles that you've had to overcome?
Well, obviously, we see more women that are in these positions, and we see more women that are taking leadership roles in gaming. But speaking for myself, I have to say that I was fortunate that I was raised by parents who encouraged their children to achieve and didn't really see the separate, you know, male or female careers. So you know, I didn't grow up
as some
do, where, you know, you're on a path that's, you know, female career based or male. We didn't really grow up with that in our household, so we didn't really think in those terms. So at least that was a really good piece of, you know, that I had from my childhood. But I think the thing that's really important as a woman, when you get out there and you're working and you know where you want to go and you want to be in a leadership position, I think the most important thing that you can do is to see yourself at the same table, you know, with your male counterpart. And you have to believe you can do that. You have to expect that you can be there. I know myself, when I went to work for the casino, and I actually worked at the first property for over 10 years, and I was the CFO for, I believe, five and a half years, and through that time there were three male general managers that came in and were there for, you know, various amounts of time, and I think maybe around the second or third time I started thinking and seeing that, you know, I could do this. I have the skills. I have the talent. I have the knowledge of this business, and I could be doing this. But it took me a little harder to make that assumption than I assume it may have for a male. So I think it's just really important that you see yourself in that role. You expect that that's the kind of role that you can have. I mean, we have to get that in our heads. And I think, too, you know, whether you're male or female, if you really want to get ahead in any kind of a leadership career, whether it's tribal gaming or other gaming or any business, you have to first off be willing to work really hard. You have to be very committed, and you have to find passion in your work. And I think that's important at all levels, but to really get to a leadership position, it's critical. And then you have to be able to take risks. Because, you know, some of the things that I have taken on in my career were not always the easiest thing to do or the most comfortable thing to do. There were times when it may have been just easier to stick with a more traditional job or not push myself to step outside my comfort level. But I really believe you have to take risks in this world if you're going to get ahead, and especially women do. It's real key for that. And then I think women, one of the challenges that women face, and I did too, is that, you know, we want to do it all. And that sounds kind of cliche, but it's really true, because we want to be good parents and we want to be good spouses, and women, I think, take more of a, unfortunately, still a role in that, or believe that we have to, and we believe we have to do everything. Everything perfectly or everything best. And I think, you know, a person really kind of has to come to terms with, you know, I will pick the priorities in my life, and I will do what's important, the most important for myself, for my career and my family, and then focus on that. And I think one other thing, too, to kind of add on to that is that it's really, really important to develop a support network. And this is for men as well, but I think it's really important when you're at work and you have to be on show and you have to do, you know, you need to be the leader, you need to lead by example, you need to do the right thing. There's clearly some time when you just really need to decompress and clear your mind and find and have that support network that can help you with that. I think that's key to success as well. But obviously we see a lot more women in this industry particularly. I see a lot of women council members, and at Fort McDowell we have a woman president, and so, you know, it's part of today's world, and it's a really great thing to see it happening.
Yeah, it seems one of the things that you were saying, there's two things that really stood out about what you said. Number one is about taking risks. So expand on them a little bit.
You know, I think probably the first risk I took was going to work in 1996 in a tribal casino on a rural reservation that was foreign to me and foreign to a lot of my colleagues and probably, you know, clearly not the norm, okay? And so I think that was the first, Chris, was going into a world where not only was it, you know, a new industry, it was one where I was putting myself out as the lead finance officer for the organization in an area where there wasn't a lot of resources or help for the for that position, completely unlike working for an organization that has, you know, that has several layers and, you know, a financial team. And so I think that was a risk. And then just pushing myself out there when things that would happen that would be frightening in that early world, or the uncertainty, or the not knowing where we were going, or if we had did the right thing, or the decisions that we were making, because this is a new industry, this is a new business, and we had a lot of people depending on us. And so, and I think it's just, you know, those are the kinds of risks that were that are obviously here today too. But I think the biggest risk there was just completely stepping into a, for me, a very foreign world and embracing it and not giving up over, you know, several challenging things that happened over those first couple of years. So.
Yeah, it could be scary, can it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really scary.
Definitely can.
How about, you said about the network, make sure you have a great network.
Mm-hmm.
That's important, isn't it?
I think a network is hugely important. I think you need, you know, work networks are very important. Knowing other women, which I didn't know a lot of women that were in the same career that I was. But I knew others that were, you know, running other businesses. And so I think, and I developed networks with, you know, the other partners that came into the casino, whether it was our financial or regulatory or, you know, wherever it may be. I think that network is important, but I think the support network is equally important, because, you know, we all need to, I work a lot. I enjoy working. You know, work is my passion. I want to be here. I'm committed to the jobs that I have and the places that I'm employed and the tribes that I work for. But there are some times when we really need to be able to, you know, decompress, clear your mind, have somebody at home that can listen to you vent, or have a group of friends that you can talk to about things away from work. I think that's probably as important as the work network.
Yeah, it's good to share in other people's experiences.
Absolutely.
To be able to move forward. Yeah, especially people that have been around longer. There's so many things going on right now, you know, online gambling, interactive game, indoor digital sports events. What is your advice to tribal casinos on the next stage of their business?
You know, that's a good question, and something I wish I had the perfect answer for. You know, if I knew that, that would be great knowledge if I had the perfect answer for everyone. But I do think that's important for tribal casinos to really be able to identify who they are, identify, you know, the fact that it's today our business can't be everything to everybody, at least for most of us. I mean, that's not true for large venues and in some areas, but for the most part, it's really key that we know who we are, that we know what we're good at, and that we know where we're going. And I think once those things are put in place, we can really capitalize on what we know how to do. We can capitalize on who our market is, and we can really capitalize on what we do best. So I think that's just really key today in this industry and with tribal gaming is know who you are, know what you can do, know what you can do best, and put those processes in place to drive the property in that area.
Yeah, you have to really know what your capabilities are and your identity is.
Absolutely, and you know, there's competition.
Yeah.
Competition is out there. It's in all markets. Obviously, you know, some markets are much more mature than others, and there's obviously different levels of competition. We are in Phoenix, or we are on the outskirts of Phoenix, so we are a little bit of a rural casino at Fort McDowell. We're a very locals casino, clearly different than our larger competitors that are in the middle of the population. So that's forces us to rethink again who we are, you know, what we can do, and how we can capitalize on our local, you know, our local base, our customer base, and really work to those efficiencies.
Yeah. So it's definitely trying to find out exactly what you're good at. What advice can you give for the younger people coming up to the ranks? What can you tell them?
You know, I talk to younger people, not only, you know, at this property, but I have a lot of folks that I've worked with throughout the years and that I keep in contact with. And, you know, I think the one piece of advice that, you know, that I think has stuck and that I would offer to young people today, and I think it's very, very important, is to whatever job you're in, whatever position you have, it's to learn. Continue learning. It doesn't matter what your craft is, but learn everything you can about the business that you're in. You know, in tribal gaming, we have so many components. We have so many departments. We have so many different opportunities. And, you know, regardless of where you are, which department you're working in, I think the more that you can learn about the business is critical. And it's obviously puts you in a better place and prepares you for, you know, future opportunities. And, you know, along with that is being engaged.
Yep.
Just you be engaged because, you know, and I have a daughter who's graduating from college this year, and I talked to a lot of other young folks, and you know, I think young people do feel like there are not opportunities out there, that the opportunities are very limited. But there are opportunities. I believe there are many out there, but we have to stay away, and I kind of caution young people that you have to stay away from thinking that an opportunity is going to come to you or fall in your lap, because in reality, that's very few and far between. So I think it's just really key to be engaged, find out what's going on in your business. You know, when you are on the job, volunteer for things, learn about the entire business, just get engaged. And then, you know, something
cool.
That... one of the other things that I think is really important is that for real success in a career is to choose your partner carefully. And while that may sound like a, you know, this is true, I think, of, you know, male or female, it's, you know, seek a spouse that supports your career, because a lot of key to career success is having someone there that can support you. And I think that piece of advice is probably right on the top for success.
Never heard that one before. That's a good one. So what you're saying is it makes perfect sense, because if you have a partner that, you know, doesn't want you to work long hours, you got a problem.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I think it's very important.
Yeah.
And there's... with, you know, it goes with the work-life balance, and we all have different views and visions, and our partners may as well. But I think that's it's really essential to career success.
All right, let's go to some calls. We had to patch in from a third party because for some reason the interface isn't working. So Doug is going to bring the calls on. Doug, I see a 480 number. Can you put that in? Hello, this is GT Radio. Hello. I guess that's not working. Doug, are you there? Hello. All right, let me try it from here.
Okay.
Hello, this is GT Radio. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I'm trying. I can hear you fine, you know. I'm trying to bring in
no,
Dolly.
No, bring in the number 480.
That's in. That's in. That's
yeah.
Mary.
Hello. Hello, this is GT Radio. No, there's another 480. 480-318-7837.
Oh, I'm not seeing that in the
Oh, you're not?
Interface.
Okay.
No, sorry.
All right, hang on.
Eric,
all right, hang on.
Let's see if I can...
I can't bring in callers for some reason.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay, well, we haven't had this kind of technical issues. I've
no, never.
That's just sad.
Never.
Okay.
Okay.
Right, bear with me.
Arlene's on, but Arlene's on, but hang on. Let me give her the. Let me give her another number to call in. Okay. Let's try. Can you see the other numbers, Doug?
No. But give me 1 minute and let me reboot into this.
Okay.
And then I think we should be
okay
over the rest of the show. Just carry on with Mary for a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
So Mary, what are some of the young people that you've talked to? What has been some of the things that you've seen that they're more concerned about, some of the questions you get from them?
Well, one thing that, you know, I think I hear often from young people is work-life balance, because while those are things that I think were important to us in my generation, after we had secured the job and after we had determined the career, and it was something that we realized was important and was needed, but we didn't think about that up front. And I do hear that from young people, that they're very concerned about, you know, how that will work, and their priorities are different. They may be looking for flexibility. They may be looking for opportunities to work flexible hours. I think a lot of things that will improve their home life or their personal life or their social life. I think those things are very important. And I don't mean to take that away, that I don't believe young people are hardworking or motivated, because I absolutely believe that the young population and the young folks that are coming up often don't get credit for the fact that they are hardworking and they do care about social issues and they do care about engagement. Because I think we're so quick to think that, you know, they're always on social media and they don't want to work hard. I don't think that's true. I think it's just much more focus on the social features of the job and balance in life as well.
Yeah, balance in life seems to be a top priority for them, right?
I really think it is. Yes, and you know, young people don't grow up with the commitment or the feeling of safety or the feeling that a employer will have a commitment to them. You know, obviously these younger folks have watched their parents go through the recession, and, you know, they've struggled with some of those issues in their own families, and they've certainly heard about it and read about it. And I don't think they see themselves as working for a business or working for an employer for a long period of time, as probably more of my generation went into it. So, and I think that's really a change too. And I think they're also looking to get places faster. And that's something that I think I try to caution folks to too, is that there is a path. We all have goals and we all want to, you know, pave that way to get there, but it's really key and really important that you take the time to learn the things that you need to do and put in your time, put in your homework, do the things that you need to do, and then the rest will come into place for you. But I think young people are often impatient and want to see those things happen sooner.
Yeah, they want to get right to it, right?
Absolutely. Get right at it.
Yeah. And that's I guess a function of the age of information, since everything happens so quickly.
It is. No, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is.
Yes.
Yeah, it is, absolutely.
Wasn't,
yeah. There's no
it wasn't
question.
That many years ago I was struggling to contact my employees, because there were no home phones and there were no cell phones. And I can imagine today
I
that those very same folks and those very same families, you know, that everyone has a cell phone and we all have, you know, instant information at our fingertips for anything we need. So it is definitely a, and it's been, and that's been a short time period, you know, that's, imagine.
Very short,
you know,
time period.
The change that we've all, that we've seen happen in 20 years. One of the nicer benefits, or one of the fun things that I've had as a general manager, is that, you know, we do get to work with a variety of ages. So, you know, employees, we have folks from all spectrum of age groups, and that's, I think it's a great refreshing thing. I think it's a bit challenging at times because, you know, different age groups learn in different ways and they like different work environments, but I think it makes a business really great when there's all the age groups and all the opportunities, and, you know, the opportunities to come together for overall success is really a nice thing.
Yeah, it's a good mix. Let's see if Doug, are you still having issues, Doug?
Yeah, sorry guys, it's just I'm logged in, but I just came up.
Okay.
All right, so here we go. The 480. Let me bring this in.
Yep.
Okay.
Hello, this is GT Radio. See if you have the same problem.
It's taking a while for the line to come up, you know.
Yeah, that's the same thing I was having. So if it comes up, just let me know. Otherwise, Mary and I will keep chatting. It looks like we're having difficulties.
Okay, I'll monitor. You got it.
Okay. All right. Is the call on or not? Are you still waiting?
Tino,
can you hear me?
The moment it comes up, I'll patch in.
Oh, there you go. Arlene, how are you? Good,
hey,
good, good. Now
doing?
We can hear.
You can finally hear me.
Right.
You got dialed in like three times.
Hooray.
Yay.
Arlene.
Hi, Mary. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
I used to work I'm actually in Phoenix. I worked for Harrah's Auction to open up the casino there, and I was with Gila River as well.
Very nice.
I played at your casino many a time. I just have a couple questions for you. One is, have you guys had to change some of your plans for, I know you have a lot of events outside, and with the issues that happened in Las Vegas, have you changed the way that you're going to host your events outside? I know a lot of casinos are concerned. They have a lot of outdoor concerts. Have you guys changed up the way that you're going to be doing some of your things outside?
No, that's a great question. And part of our business plan this year and going forward has been to do lesser of the outdoor concerts. We're actually looking to do more smaller group concerts, more smaller VIP events, more of the indoor and capitalizing on the Weekapa Resort next door and utilizing that as well. But I have to say that what happened in Las Vegas was a wake-up call, but something that has changed the way that we think about security in the building. It's changed the way that we think about, you know, team member awareness. It's changed the way that we think in general about everything that goes on at the facility. So, yes, absolutely a game changer in the way we think about things, although it kind of worked out that this was a little shift in the way that we were looking to do our events. So it kind of, you know, it happened at a good time for that business change to have happened.
And then my second question is, I was in the gaming business for 20 years.
Wow.
And decided,
congratulations.
Decided I wanted a break just to, you know, kind of step back and have a personal life. And now I'm trying to get back into the business, and I'm getting a lot of questions. Why did you leave? You know, any recommendations on, you know, I basically left because I wanted just to, you know, to take a break. I'd been doing it for 20 years, working 12 hours a day for 20 years, putting your personal life kind of on hold. And so now, any recommendations on, you know, what I can do to kind of, you know, not make that such an issue for me?
No, and that's a great question as well. I think that the key things that are important as far as getting back into the business are, obviously staying as current as you can, being knowledgeable about the industry. There's so much that's happening in Arizona right now with potential compact changes and just all of the number of things that are going on with new projects, casino growth, casino change, increased competition. And I think being, you know, number one, keeping your knowledge base up, knowing what's going on, you know, being well aware of the climate here, and then contacting the organizations, you know, sending resumes, making personal contacts, and of course networking. Networking is so important that you know folks that are in gaming, and you let those folks be aware of the fact that you're out there looking. You know, it's absolutely important to keep that up as well.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Arlene.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right, we'll go to our next caller. Doug, are you there?
Yes, going now. So they may just come on. I mean,
yep.
I get the indication that they're live. So
let's do it.
The caller is there.
9-3-1-0-5-7-4-0. Yeah, this is GT Radio. Hello, are you there? Hello, this is GT Radio. Hello?
May not come through to you now.
Sorry, did you want to try another number? Or?
45.
Yeah, I'm trying that.
Okay. So in terms of the Arizona business, I mean the Arizona climate in gaming, it differs a little bit from other states, right?
Yes. Well, in Arizona, there is a restriction on machines. So that's clearly different from most states, at least to my awareness. So with the restriction on machines, really, you know, it has helped to avoid an oversaturation in the market. But it hasn't. But it has also encouraged, obviously, lots of growth, lots of updates, lots of amenities added to the gaming facilities, and you know, lots of competition that's out there and you know around us at all times in Phoenix.
Right. Yeah. You have quite a bit of competition there.
Yeah. Phoenix is also a strong retiree market, and so, you know, when we talk about millennials and we talk about you know, that those things that are always front and center is who will our guests be in 10 years? Who will they be in 20 years? What will the gamer look like? And do we need to change our business models for millennials? And that's hard to do, especially at Fort McDowell, because we definitely have a very age customer base, and it's tough to really be thinking about resources and efforts put forth for a generation that we don't know how they'll react or what they'll do when they're at the age of our gamers today. So it makes for challenges in determining those plans.
Yeah, it sure does. So you're over, definitely over 40, right? 50 years old, skewing the majority of your players, right?
Yes, probably, and probably in the 55 and older is really our core market.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. How do you handle the competition? You know, you said you got a lot of competition out there. What are you doing to distinguish yourself and to keep the customer coming back?
Okay. Well, Fort McDowell has a very strong locals market. I mean, we're out a bit, so we're on the edge. We're in the northeast corner of Phoenix, and we have a very, very strong, loyal locals market. And so we spend a lot of time ensuring that we're taking care of those patrons and that they've been very, very loyal to Fort McDowell. Fort McDowell's been here for a long time. The tribe and the nation has a very I would say they have a very proud gaming past. And I don't know, Tino, if you're aware or if others listening are aware, but Fort McDowell fought the fight back in May of 1992. And that's when they had been gaming, they had been unable to sign a compact with the governor. And in May of 1992, federal agents came to Fort McDowell and attempted to seize the gaming machines that were here. And so there was a raid that took place over a number of days. And in the end, the community members, using everything that they had available for cars, trucks, and machinery, blocked the access to the casino. And it was an amazing event. It was a big event that was, you know, obviously carried on by a very passionate group of tribal members. And it's a history that Fort McDowell is immensely proud of. It's celebrated every year on May 12th, which is the anniversary date. It's a great story. It's something they're very, very proud of and you know, is theirs. And so as a result of that, the governor at the time called off the the raid and did come to Fort McDowell and did start the compacting process. So it's a great story and something that just is a source of great pride for the tribe.
Yeah, so they're pioneers.
Absolutely, they paved the way.
Yeah. How long after that did they start building other casinos?
Fort McDowell has only the one casino.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there's just where there is Fort McDowell has one casino. I believe the other. I don't know the time on the rest, but there were they followed suit shortly after, but.
Shortly after, yeah.
Fort McDowell is very, very proud of their history.
Basically paved the way, right?
Yes, yes. And they are very loyal customers at Fort McDowell that have been coming, you know, over that entire time period. And they're very appreciative and work hard to retain those loyal customers.
Yeah. So what is the most important thing that you as a GM have to keep in mind, or a couple of the most important things that you have to keep in mind when you're running a casino and running it for optimum performance?
Well, I think as a general manager, my key role is to make money for the nation. There are casino profits support the government programs, a large number of government programs, and they're critical to the nation. And so, you know, I can't lose sight of the importance of the profits that are generated by the casino and the importance of my role. But I think as far as what I see important in my own job, it is number one to, you know, engage my team. If engaged team members, I think, are the key to what sets any casino aside from all the competition that's out there. If your team isn't engaged and your guests aren't involved with your team, I don't think you have what you need for success, because we all have slot machines, we all have table games, we all have, you know, restaurants, and some obviously to, you know, greater degrees and higher levels than others, but it's that team member engagement that's really going to make the business, and it's really going to keep the guest coming back, because the guests need something. They need a reason to get in their car and drive to our casino and to drive to any casino. Our guests are coming here. They're making an effort to come here. They're spending their hard-earned money, and it is key that me and the team that works for me shows those guests a good piece of entertainment, you know, friendly team members, good gaming value. We work hard to have good food value, entertainment value. We want our guests at Fort McDowell to feel that when they left here that they had a fun experience and that they had a good value.
Yeah, that's more than ever now is very important. It's the value
it really is.
from the experience that they're getting there. You know, whereas before, I don't think it was, but now I think after, you know, the crash and everything, people are wanting to have the biggest bang for their buck, and they're shopping like anything else.
Right, and there's a lot of competition for entertainment dollars, whether you're in Phoenix or whether you're anywhere in the country. There's definitely a lots of opportunities for those entertainment dollars to be spent, and so if we want our fair share in the gaming venues, we really have to show our guests that, you know, we care about them, we're listening to them, we're providing a great experience and at a great value.
Yeah, and Phoenix has a lot of, you know, spas and resort areas and hotels and golf courses, right? You have a lot of, not just from competing casinos, but also from, you know, just recreational things to do.
Yes, absolutely. There are many, many recreational opportunities, many, many entertainment opportunities. Phoenix is great golfing. We have two signature golf courses here at Weekapaw Golf. It is part of the Fort McDowell's entertainment area, and they're, you know, they're wonderful golf courses. We see lots of folks that come here and are very happy to be here and play their signature golf courses. At Fort McDowell, we also say that we're on the edge. We're in the Wild West. We have something called Fort McDowell Adventures, where folks can come and do things like horseback riding, have outdoor events. And so that's something that we have and we can offer to our guests, is a little bit of get away from the hustle and bustle of the city. But it also, you know, it also has the challenge of having the distance. We obviously do not have the proximity to the majority of the population as our competitors do.
Yeah, you actually have a ranch set up, right?
Yes, it's an outdoor. It's called Fort McDowell Adventures, and it has a number of outdoor western events that are really great.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
They had a... The last time I was there, they had a food competition where they had all these chefs set up. It was really amazing. And then all the rooms were, you know, just like back in the western days.
It's a great outdoor western atmosphere. We do corporate events. We have groups that do getaways and want to be outside and under the stars, and it's a fabulous place.
Tell us a little bit about your biggest challenge when you started in the business. What you were trying to figure out, and what was most important that you overcame. What was the biggest thing that you had to break through for you?
Probably the biggest challenge that I faced was learning the business and helping the tribe reach their goals. And also trying to weigh those goals and make those happen. So, as a general manager of a tribal gaming property, there are different goals. There's clearly the need for gaming profits to support programs. There's also needs for employment. And then obviously just the cost of the business, running a business that's efficient while addressing some of those needs. It may be training for tribal members, maybe dealing with workforce, and this is tribal or not tribal, that wasn't trained, didn't have skill set because it's a new industry. And so I think probably my initial challenge was workforce, was helping to get that training and position the folks on a good path to have success in the casino, be able to run a profitable business and take care of and support the needs of the tribal nation.
Yeah, it's juggling a few balls in the air at the same time, isn't it? Especially at that period when you were just learning about the business.
Yes, it's definitely a lot of juggling, but it's a good juggling, and it is that though. It is, there's lots of moving parts, moving pieces, and ever changing pieces. So while we don't always think that our industry is the quickest or the fastest with technology, we do have to clearly see that there's been huge changes in technology over the 20 years in gaming. So what we have today, you know, with all the opportunities, even for things like email and being able to, the geofencing, texting, you know, such a long ways that we have come from the traditional radio and newspaper ad that we started out with, that was our core, you know, a piece of promotions and advertising so many years ago. And our player clubs. You know, we didn't have a player club when we started in the 20 years ago.
Yeah, no, there's no sophisticated tracking, nothing fancy schmancy, that's for sure.
Not at all.
So I just got a text from Rogelio Rubio. He can hear us, but he can't ask a question. But he texted me a question to ask you, so that's good too. If you guys are listening, you can text me some questions. I'm at 310-699-9442. And just send me a text, and I'll ask Marion, and she'll respond. So his question is, he wants to know what gets you engaged in gaming every day. What keeps your passion going? What's the secret that you have?
Thanks, Rogelio. what keeps me going every day is wanting to get up, wanting to come here, wanting to accomplish. You know, accomplish something. I want to be engaged. I want to see this property and the others that I have worked for accomplish the goals that we set out. And, you know, and we work with a large number of folks that are passionate about their work, passionate about their jobs. But I think that's what gets me up and gets me here every day is being part of that team, working together to accomplish a goal. Sharing in those successes that we have, whether it's on, you know, a daily basis, weekly basis, monthly basis, just making it happen.
That's good. I think he has one more here. Let me see. Okay, so what he's asking here is, casinos are becoming more and more like, you know, resorts and hotels with all the leisure activities. Do you think there will be more of a shift within the next 5 years towards that and away from gambling?
I do think that there will be, yes, I do believe there will be more of a shift because we're finding with the younger folks coming up that the things, the wants and the needs and the more social interaction and the other amenities are key to the, you know, to the success of the gaming operation. And there's, folks are looking for more things to do. They're not looking to just come and be happy sitting at a slot machine, but they're looking for other things that they can do when they visit the property. But I do think that the exhilaration or the excitement of gaming in the game of chance, I don't think that goes away. I think that's there, will always be part of our business. We may shift the way we present it. We may look at, you know, more interactive games. We may be looking for more skill-based games down the road. I don't think that's really the answer for today's market or today's guest. But I think we may shift the way we do things. There may be more interactive social media games, and maybe we bring that into the brick and mortar. But I think the game of chance and the excitement and the thrill, I think that's going to stay. I think we just need to continue to expand on the amenities, listen to our customers, hear what they want to do, hear what else they need to do to come to our brick-and-mortar facility, and just not lose sight of that piece. So in summary, my answer is yes. I do believe we will see more growth in the added amenities to the facilities.
That's great. Thanks, Aurelio. I have another question here. Can you talk a little bit about the Arizona market and where you think it's headed?
The one thing with the Arizona market, as I mentioned earlier, is with the restriction on games, that's something that has assisted with, you know, avoiding market saturation. But that being said, we do have new players in the market. We have, you know, competitors that are adding to their amenities. And we also have compacts that run out in 2026 and thoughts from the governor that he would like to open the compacts, modernize the compacts, make changes potentially that obviously may benefit the state. You know, as well as the tribes. So there's a lot of opportunity right today that there for changes that may be coming in the market. There may be pressures to do gaming that may be outside the traditional exclusions that exist today. I certainly hope not. I certainly hope that's not the way that that the future may go. But I do think we're going to see some changes in the regulation, in the compacts, in the Arizona market. But other than that, I think Arizona is experiencing population growth, where we know there are, that gaming is more acceptable, more socially acceptable, and so I do believe that we will continue to grow our businesses. But I do believe it's going to be much more competitive. We all have to sharpen our game, and just really be on top of things, because it's going to heat up the competition as well.
Yeah, there's no question about that. Okay, great. Mary, sorry about the technical difficulties. This is the first time that happened, but thanks for a great show. You've been an amazing guest, and we'll need to have you back on so we don't have these technical difficulties, and the people will be able to call in and ask you questions. You have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Tino.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. All right, that was great. Mary's some great stories and you know, growing up in a family with nine siblings. All of them girls. That's pretty amazing. And we are going to pick up the show in January, January 11th. We have Ken Manuel, CEO of Gila River. And he's pretty amazing, his trajectory and the strategy to get to where he is today. So you all have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And remember, there's always someone who's got a story to tell. You just have to have time to listen. Y'all have a good night. Thank you, and Merry Christmas.